The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The search for Jimmy Hoffa's bones will have to resume at a later date. Assistant Special Agent Judy Shaleen from the Detroit office.
The investigation remains ongoing. There are still prosecutable defendants who are living, and they know who they are.
The FBI, in 2 weeks of digging, did not find Hoffa's remains at that Michigan horse farm called Hidden Dreams. In Iraq today, more than 50 people have died to terror bombs and ambushes. This is We Keep an Eye on CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier, now in a hospital in Germany after that roadside bomb yesterday. CBS News Vice President Linda Mason visited her.
Even with the medical procedures that were ongoing, she looked good to me, with a lot of work to be done, but she looked good to me.
Kimberly took a lot of shrapnel above and below her torso, which was protected by the vets. It's long been said that a man who acts as his own attorney at trial has a fool for a client. If ever there were someone in need of competent legal representation, it would be John Allen Muhammad, convicted sniper murderer in Virginia, on trial in Maryland for 6 murders there. Victims' families say it was hard listening to Muhammad in court. Vicki Snyder's brother was one of the victims.
Sonny Buchanan was a wonderful man, full of hopes, dreams, and aspirations, just like many of us. And they were cut short.
It took the jury just 4 hours to find him guilty. U.S. troops and materiel are arriving in Java to help the earthquake victims. Sean McCormick at the State Department.
4 KC-130 flights have brought 45 U.S. military personnel to Yogyakarta, including a unit to provide initial trauma surgical capacity. The plan is to set up a field hospital to begin treating the many injured.
You have the right to speak freely. You also have the responsibility to back up what you say when you blow the whistle on someone else. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Government whistleblowers who believe they're being punished for reporting misconduct will have a harder time getting judges to side with them. The Supreme Court says free speech rights do not protect every statement a public worker makes on the job.
It's really putting public employers on the par with private employers,
says National School Boards Association lawyer Francisco Negron. Bonnie Robin Vergeer of Public Citizen worries whistleblowers now will think twice before speaking up.
They're sort of proceeding here at their own peril.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Barbaro, the racehorse, is progressing well. The Kentucky Derby winner broke his ankle in the Preakness, may be able to keep the fiberglass cast he has for several weeks. Dr. Dean Richardson says that's a good thing.
He's actually done far better than I would have ever hoped so far.
Long way to go, however, for a successful stud career. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 184 points to close at 11,094. The Nasdaq was off 45 points. Oil prices, $72.03 a barrel, up 66 cents. This is CBS News.
The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale is right up my alley because I'm a car. Hey, I'm driving here. And since cars need pampering, I'm revved up about all the great deals on popular Goodyear tires. Plus, with a qualifying purchase, I can get my treads tapping with a limited edition Cars original soundtrack and up to a $100 Goodyear cash card. The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale makes me happy to be a car.
See Disney and Pixar's Cars in theaters June 9th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer near you. Sale and mail-in offers end June 17th. Restrictions apply.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And there's only one way to stop them.
With Barracuda Network's spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Just when gas prices start driving people away from SUVs, the rollover ratings start to get better.
39 SUVs, 42% of the current models rated, earn 4 stars in the government's new rollover ratings. That's up from 34% that earned 4 stars last year. The government says that's because most SUVs are now available with electronic stability control. Recent studies have shown ESC dramatically reduces single-vehicle accidents, especially in sport utilities. The Chevy HHR, Chrysler Pacifica, and Ford Freestyle where the SUVs rated least likely to roll over.
And CBS's John Hartshe. Canadians are healthier on average than Americans. Sure they are. They're packed in ice more than half the year. Actually, the survey doesn't say what impact climate has on comparative health levels, and Canada's National Health Insurance Program is given part of the credit because disease prevention services are covered for everyone. American adults also found to be less healthy than the English some time back. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only 2 locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours, UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call You and Us. Member SIPC.
Tonight, NBC will show you the funny. All-new Last Comic Standing is back.
How you doing?
And the search is on for the funniest person in America.
My mom, she is a shopaholic. That woman loves to buy alcohol.
With all-new comedians.
The reason we broke up is because I caught her lying under another man.
See the good, the bad, and the just plain weird. You decide who will be the Last Comic Standing tonight on NBC.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're tan and rested after the long holiday weekend. And I'm delighted you found us on the Central Coast, the North Coast, Sacramento, Phoenix. Or if you're listening on your computer online, I'm delighted you're with us. We got a lot to talk about today. Coming up in a half hour, we'll be joined by Kate Luby. She is the South Dakota Director for Planned Parenthood. South Dakota is the state where the legislature passed a total ban on abortion. And the citizens there are not just taking it. They have collected signatures to qualify a measure that could overturn the legislative attempt. We'll talk about that in about half an hour. Also on our program today, about an hour away, Dar Jamil will join us. He has written extensively about Iraq and has quite a voice. Today he's going to recount for us the other Me Lies, not just the incident at Haditha in November of 2004, but other mass killings that could amount to murder. We'll talk about that with Dar Jamil next hour. Our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, the guy who was on top of the CIA leak investigation, and his claim to fame before that is he covered in depth the Enron case and the story about California's energy crisis. We'll have Jason talk about the connections between Bush and Enron. That's coming up in our second hour. And we kick off our third hour every week on Tuesday with Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're going to talk about Dollar Bill Jefferson, the tainted congressman from Louisiana. There was a hearing today before Jim Sensenbrenner's committee, and we'll talk about that, plus a few other tidbits, including Ralph Reed's connection to Jack Abramoff and those sweatshops in the Marianas Islands where they can pay low wages, exploit the women laborers, and still put a Made in USA label on the products. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join us at any moment with a question or comment. That's why we have telephones here, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. Joining us now is a man who I consider to be one of the hardest-working investigative journalists who is underappreciated on these shores. He has to usually go to Britain for his powerful broadcast pieces to air, and his print articles as well. Greg Palast joins us. He has a brand new book called Armed Madhouse. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Peter. Glad to be back.
It's great to talk with you again. How are you holding up?
Well, I'm coming back from exile to slip a new book under the electronic Berlin Wall, so appreciate your lifting it just a bit for me.
Well, I spent most of my free time over the weekend lifting it, and Greg, I not only find you incredibly informative, but your writing style is rich and entertaining, and it makes the book hard to put down, damn it.
Well, it just depends who you put it down on. yeah, I mean, you're stuck. I mean, this is, I do invest, for those who don't know Greg Palast, I do investigative reporting.
Yes, you do.
For BBC television, which, Peter, I understand is illegal under Patriot Act 3.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, something like that. And so you get these reports from BBC and the further expansion, which too dangerous for your TV set here, but not for Peter. I do really appreciate that. I don't, you know, I'm not allowed, literally just not allowed onto a lot of U.S. media. I mean, Jason Leopold knows me well, knows that story.
Sure.
It's and so I've had to go into journalistic exile.
Yeah.
Tell you everything from, you know, how they shoplift elections to the secret plans for oil in Iraq. And,
well,
and
Greg, would you just get on board? You know, a little focus grouping would put you in touch with the real interests of the American people.
My
and
inner
it's the
Rove.
Duke rape case.
Yeah, get in touch with my inner Karl Rove, I guess.
Yeah.
Pre-indictment. Yeah.
Well, first up, I want to give credit to two people who we know in common, Ed Asner and my good friend Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. They participated in reading the audiobook of this new episode called Armed Madhouse.
Right.
And I think it's a bit of a challenge for people other than Greg Palast to read because you write in a voice that is uniquely Greg.
Well, Ed Asner is actually reading the section called The Network. And if you remember the great soliloquy from that film, in which...
I'm mad as hell. That's
right.
Not the soliloquy,
and,
but that's what everybody remembers.
And then the big mogul says, and Ed Asner plays this part in the book, because they Warner Brothers let me reprint the whole thing. Well, you know, Mr. Beale, the Arabs have taken billions of dollars from us. And now we must get it back. And he describes the ebb and flow of petrodollars. And here's a weird little story. Paddy Chayefsky, who wrote that film, got the idea, well, he's looking for something economic, from the guy that was writing the Star Trek series, who was my uncle. And he got it from me.
Really?
So actually, I'm writing about the network speech that Chayefsky got from me, but now I get to, then I was an academic working under, of all people, Milton Friedman. But the point is, of that whole chapter, is to explain, after I write about the secret plans for oil in Iraq, which you're not supposed to see. It took me 2 years to get those plans out of that big oil wrote for the Bush boys.
Right.
And why we are working to maintain OPEC, and why our president rides around in that golf cart with King Abdullah, you know, the guy he calls the Saudi royal, which means he's just a, you know, dictator in a bathrobe and a crown, right? That's what they mean by royal. But why did he go around that golf cart, besides the fact that George is afraid of horses? And the answer is that Abdullah, it's not that we worry that he won't sell us oil. I mean, he can't drink it. But what he does is, after they nick us for $3 a gallon, big oil takes a big slice. Abdullah takes a little slice for his 45th Rolls-Royce, and the rest of the money rolls back. It comes back in the form of U.S. Treasury bill and Treasury bond purchases from Saudi Arabia. And that is the core of how George Bush has been able to spend $2 trillion that he doesn't have, supposedly stone sober, by borrowing it from these characters. And that... Unfortunately, there's another effect. I mean, for, you know, after all, the Quran says you can't charge interest, but these guys don't mind demanding one big pound of flesh, and the high interest rates and the high oil prices combined have absolutely mangled, destroyed, and put a deep knife into American industry, and
well,
you got to know
Palast,
about that.
You cleanly explain this in a chart that even I could understand. I was challenged in college economics. On page 146, where you show that the, you know, Arab nations are extracting $252 billion, that was in 2005, for OPEC's oil, and they invested $311 billion by buying our treasury bills.
Yeah.
So that's their share of financing our deficit.
Yeah, except that, see, when they say, it's not a gift. We are being taxed at the pump.
Yeah.
See, there are those who believe, and if you read our madhouse and you see the actual inside documents, in fact, you got that four-color chart kind of glued into the front of the book so that... Cause
nicely
my,
done, yeah.
My publisher didn't want to shoplift it, Peter, at Barnes & Noble, you know, rip it out of the book. It's very expensive, those four-color charts to put into a book. And there's like 50 illustrations, if you think my publisher is happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive book to make. But there we actually have... We were able to get our hands on the plans. I know that some of your listeners think that Bush had a secret plan for Iraq's oil before the tanks rolled, which he didn't. That's not true. He had two plans, and we got both. But the winning plan is the one that supported Saudi Arabia and the oil companies. The purpose was, as they say, to enhance Iraq's relationship with OPEC, meaning enhance the relationship with the oil cartel, which is squeezing us to death.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's all about is keeping up the price of oil. When Bill Clinton left, he left us with $18 a barrel oil, dirt cheap stuff. Now it's $70 a barrel. Peter, they didn't goof up.
That's
mission accomplished.
That's what you point out is the war tax. Bush wouldn't impose one on us directly, so it was done indirectly by
right.
the oil patch crowd. And Greg, just a minute before our next break, the real takeaway for me, the powerful aha in your book, is yes, we invaded Iraq all about oil. But what will confound people is that our plan was to grab that oil and keep it from getting into the world oil marketplace.
Yeah, it shocked me, too. Actually, I wasn't looking for that. You know, I'm like everyone else. I thought, frankly, it was blood for oil. You know, we had all those protesters, no blood for oil, no blood for oil. But, you know, for most Americans, blood for oil is a bargain. But so I thought, well, that's what we went in there for. But no. When you talk to the oil executives, when you get their plans, my eyes are popping out. It was all about making sure that Iraq doesn't flood the oil market and bring down the price. And once you see it, and once you talk, I actually talked to the CEO of Shell and others. Once you talk to these guys and once you see their plans, you see the point. They thought oil was too cheap, and Iraq was in danger of flooding the market. And Saddam Hussein was out of control, jerking the market up and down. They were happy with him otherwise. You know, he was our butcher in Baghdad for years. And so it was one of the most interesting parts of the investigation.
Stunning material in the new book, Armed Madhouse. We're talking with its author, Greg Palast. You can visit our website at KRXA540.com for a link to the Greg Palast website, where you can see some of the great video packages that don't air on American television. Powerful stuff. You should check it out. Armed Madhouse is the book. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, join us. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC7.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Karma Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the left coast and oozing eastward. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about overturning the abortion ban in South Dakota. We continue now with Greg Palast, the investigative journalist who's just too hot for American media. Go to gregpalast.com or the KRXA540.com website, and that'll link you up to Greg's site. A lot of powerful reporting there, including some 9-minute video packages that just would never be permitted on American television because there isn't enough room for the commercials. Greg, yeah. I visited your site one night last week and saw a couple of the video pieces you do for BBC.
Yes.
And I was struck by the depth, by your ability to actually create context. It is not always driven by pictures. And they'll give you as long as 9 minutes to tell a story. The American media simply doesn't permit that anymore.
Yeah. They'll give me 14, whatever I need, and I can do things like show documents on television, and I can do something else I like. I can cover the grimmest stories, and they don't, and I can add some humor. See, there's all those guys looking very solemn and serious talking about, you know, the latest Sports Illustrated issue on Fox TV. They'll sound like it's news, you know. Whereas I'll do heavy-duty news, but I can use some of my worst jokes. In fact, as you know, that's one of the prices of reading our madhouse. I appreciate your comments. I notice you haven't said anything good about my jokes, just my journalism. Okay.
There are a lot of great jokes. I get it.
I understand.
You don't need to be defensive. I like your jokes. It's just we only have two segments here,
right.
And I want to deliver as much to our listeners as possible, so they're going to go out and read your book.
Yeah.
Because they do need to read the whole thing.
It's
chock full of information. You do have a lot of documents of unknown origin. And let's take a moment here to talk about Choice Point and war profiteering.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners who Choice Point is and how they fit into the Bush maelstrom.
And it's war on terror profiteering, which is even uglier.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, I reported a story years ago, which finally got out that that just before the 2000 election, Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris scrubbed tens of thousands of black voters off the voter roll. That was the election. That's how little George took the White House. Now, that company that came up with the nasty little scrub list of black folk By the way, who accused them of being felons when they were just, you know, guilty of voting while black.
Yeah.
That same company then got the no-bid contracts from the guys they chose as president. They got no-bid contracts from the Homeland Security and all the big warrants to keep track of us. And they have last time I checked, they had 16 billion records on Americans. You know, and now, by the way, what makes that very interesting, this type of no-bid profiteering, is that two things. Number one, the government collecting that information is basically illegal, according to the United States Constitution, but somehow it's decided that if a private company collects this stuff and then the government just dips in once in a while, that's okay. But the second thing, which is worse, is that people say, well, you got to give up some civil liberties to defend ourselves. This is not about defending anyone. This is about building more lists for more elections games.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going after the terrorists. In fact, the weirdest thing was when I got one of the inside contracts. And you see, by the way, in the book you have like 50 illustrations, including a lot of these secret and confidential documents.
Right, like a Choice Point no-bid contract from the Bush administration.
And one of the most interesting thing about that contract, okay, they're not, you know, we had 15 hijackers from Saudi Arabia. This was the contract to gather intelligence, foreign intelligence, on suspected terrorist groups abroad. And there wasn't any collection of data on the Gulf or Saudi Arabia. But there was collection of citizen data from Venezuela, Argentina, and Mexico, which happened to have either presidents or leading presidential candidates who's only terrifying to George Bush because they don't like him.
Right.
You know, so in other words, our war on terror money is enriching the guys that help out Bush politically. I mean, this company, Choice Point, is like a Republican country club, the way its executive suite.
Vin Weber, Bernie Marcus, Ken Langone, treasurer of the Giuliani Senate campaign against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and Langone's interesting, who's on it. And this is the guy in charge of our war on terror files, our personal files.
Mm-hmm.
He's under indictment for misuse of information. That's okay. But hey, what do you want?
So well, and at the time, they couldn't get the telephone companies to sell them our records, and that's changed. Greg, I want to sneak in a caller here. Dave and Humboldt, you're on with Greg Palast. Go right ahead, Dave.
Oh, Peter, I so much appreciate your program and your guests. And, Greg, it is inconceivable how much harm these people are doing to this country and seemingly getting away with so much of it. I am also convinced that they got us into these wars in the Middle East because there is big bucks there being made by their little Carlisle cartel. That's my thought.
Yes. Well, the profiteer. Well, if you then don't read Armed Madhouse because you'll really lose your cookies.
Yes,
you'll really lose your lunch. Part of the this is the first invasion plan in history, which was attached to a program for changing the copyright laws of the nation for programs to sell off. They call it privatizing. Sell off the banks of the country. I mean, it was an asset grab with both hands. I got this document, 101 pages long, which was written, the guiding hand behind it. This was the went with the invasion. The guiding hand behind the occupation plan was Grover Norquist, Jack Abramoff's partner.
Yeah, the drowned in a bathtub guy.
Yeah, the super lobbyist who you know represents Christian Coalition, NRA, but mainly big corporations like Microsoft. And basically you had a bunch of lobbyists get together and decide what the occupation plan would be. That's why they sold off the banks. They changed the copyright laws so Sony would be happy and that Microsoft would be happy.
The 100 decrees of Jerry Bremer when he was on loan from Kissinger and Associates really have laid the groundwork for a corporate field day in Iraq.
Except it puts Iraqis in a bad mood.
Yeah, and Dave, your comment is right on target. You got to read the book. Greg, we're out of time here, but when your schedule permits and the book tour has lightened up, could you come back and spend an hour with us? There's much more in the book we need to talk about.
You got it, and hopefully you'll see me out in California next week when the tour begins.
Come on out. We'd love to see you.
You got it. Bye.
Greg Palast, Armed Madhouse is the new book. Pick it up and read it. Coming up next, efforts by citizens in South Dakota to overturn the most draconian abortion ban in these United States. We're going to talk about that. And coming up next hour, Jason Leopold joins us to talk about Bush and Ken Lay. Much more, too, with Dar Jamil. It's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My website, peterbcollins.com. Check it out.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
Thirty-three minutes past the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, Dar Jamail talks about other My Lai massacres in Iraq. And Jason Leopold on Bush and Enron.
Yeah.
Thank you, Neil Young. Our free world becomes less and less free all the time. There is the incursion on our civil and privacy rights by a spying administration. And then there are the moralists who try to impose their values on all of us. And South Dakota is the flashpoint now, as many of us have been following the packing of the Supreme Court with two new supporters of abortion bans, sets the stage for a major showdown. And with those two appointees in mind, members of the South Dakota legislature, and the original bill was authored by a female Democrat, I recall that, passed legislation that was signed by Governor Mike Rounds on March 6th, which is the most restrictive abortion law in the United States. It bans nearly all abortions, even when pregnancies result from incest or rape. And the law says if a woman's life is in jeopardy, doctors must try to save the fetus as well as the woman, and doctors who perform an abortion could receive a $5,000 fine and 5 years in prison. This is the first time that this kind of doctor behavior has been criminalized, in my knowledge. And now, 1,200 volunteers in the state of South Dakota have circulated a petition. They have garnered nearly 38,000 signatures, and I believe they were to be delivered to the Secretary of State's office this afternoon. Joining us to talk about it is Kate Luby. She's South Dakota Director for Planned Parenthood. Kate, welcome to our program today. Oh, we don't have her yet. Okay. Well, we're going to hook up with her in just a moment here. And this is a very interesting way of pushing back on the far right as they attempt to, as I say, impose their view on the entire nation. And if the this campaign called South Dakota Campaign for Healthy Families is successful, they hope to put this issue on the ballot this fall, and that would come up in November, and that would allow voters to essentially overrule the legislature if they choose to do so. Now, it'll be interesting as soon as we get a hold of Kate to find out if the surveys there, the polls, indicate that voters are out of step with their elected leaders. And it is possible that voters may have a different opinion from those in the legislature, and that it, you know, there is traction here to overturn it at the ballot box in November. But I am gratified to see this effort and to see people organize around it, because I really felt back to the hearings on Alito and Roberts that while there were some senators who raised the issues and interest groups, pro-choice groups, certainly made an issue of these nominees, too many of the Democratic leaders, simply, in my view, they were not passionate enough about this whatsoever. So I find this to be a very interesting development. And why don't we open up the phones, because we're not reaching Kate Luby right now, and we'll see if we can get her on in the next few minutes. But I'd like to hear from you. You can talk about the abortion law or any other issue. 831-899-5792 here on the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And when we do get Kate, one of the things that I want to ask her about, I've shared this with you, my listeners, on a number of occasions, and that is that there is a right-wing group in Washington that is funded by Reverend Pat Robertson, and it's called the American Center for Law and Justice. And I signed up for their emails because it gives me interesting insight to how the other side is thinking and how they are strategizing. So this email came to me just last week, and it's from Jay Sekulow, the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. And here, they are trying to use abortion cases to energize their supporters and get them to donate more money. Here's how it reads. Dear Peter, it's time for the Supreme Court to hear what you have to say. We are filing our amicus brief in Gonzalez versus Carhart today. This is undeniably one of the most crucial pro-life cases to reach the Supreme Court of the United States since Roe v. Wade, and we still need your immediate help in order to wrap up our preparations and present an unbeatable case. Then there's a link to a place where I can donate and give them money. Now, here's where this letter gets really rich, and keep in mind, this is a right-winger writing to his fellow conservatives and evangelicals and hoping to get an appropriate reaction from them. He describes the opposition, National Abortion Federation, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the National Organization for Women. The opposition continues to pour money into a multi-million dollar abortion lobby. Now, that may be true. There is a pro-choice lobby in this country, and those groups are all involved in it. And perhaps they do amount to multi-million dollar activities. But here's the next line that just floored me. They are bringing an inordinate amount of money to this case because the substantial profits of the multi-million dollar abortion industry are at stake. Now, I consider this to be a specious and underhanded argument. I'm not aware of any substantial profits in the multi-million dollar abortion industry in this country. I know that many groups struggle to keep their clinics open, struggle to deal with the lawsuits and the other provocations that are brought by pro-life protesters and people who conduct illegal blockades of abortion facilities. And so I don't know that there are huge profits. There certainly are huge costs in maintaining legal and safe abortion facilities in this country. But to say that it's a multi-million dollar industry and they have substantial profits, well, I'd like to know more about that. So if you have a comment, if you would like to join me, I would love to hear from you. We're trying to reach Kate Luby, who is the South Dakota Director for Planned Parenthood USA. And as soon as we contact her, we'll get her on the program. In the meantime, you can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540 or on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Kate Luby joins us now. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Kate.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, this is an important day, and I am very pleased to see the grassroots efforts in South Dakota where citizens are pushing back on the conservative legislative apparatus and saying, we want a citizen's vote on this draconian abortion law.
Absolutely. It's a big day in South Dakota, and it's a big day for progressive-minded people all over the country. And giving the voters an opportunity to really weigh in on this incredibly important issue.
Give us a quick sketch of how long it took to obtain the 38,000 signatures. You didn't have a lot of time since March 6th when the governor signed this bill into law and the qualifying date for the November election.
We were collecting signatures for approximately 9 weeks. We thought that we were going to have until June 19th, another 3 weeks to collect additional signatures. But our opponents were threatening to file legal action to prevent us from putting this on the ballot if we waited any longer. And so we felt the need to just go ahead and turn them into the Secretary of State's office. We had more than twice the number that we needed to collect, and so we felt confident in moving forward at this point. And it's good. It gives us the opportunity to go straight now to the campaign phase of the movement, and we're very excited about that.
And, Kate, do you have any sense that your opponents will try to engage in other legal tactics to block this effort to put it on the ballot?
We don't have any sense that they'll be engaging in legal tactics at this point, but we know that they've already started a campaign of essentially lies and deception to confuse the voters in South Dakota on many of the issues that they're going to be needing to address on this really extreme abortion ban. And so we've seen some of the, really obnoxious tactics that they're going to be taking, and I think that's just a glimpse of what we're going to be dealing with.
Kate, what do the polls tell you about the voters of South Dakota and their support for a woman's right to choose? Are they ahead of their elected officials on this point?
Well, I don't think that anyone would go so far as to suggest that South Dakota is a pro-choice state, although certainly the majority of people in South Dakota that
We're losing your cell phone there, Kate. She must be out in the hinterlands of South Dakota. So we'll take a quick break right now and see if we can reconnect with Kate and get her back here in a moment or two. If you have a question or comment, particularly if you think that abortion rights represent a very important issue. I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open on the Central Coast, 831-899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. Or you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You can also send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, where journalist Dar Jamail will join us after the top of the hour. He just posted a piece at truthout.org today called Countless My Lai Massacres in Iraq. We'll get the details coming up. We continue with Kate Luby. She's the South Dakota State Director for Planned Parenthood. And in South Dakota, signatures have been submitted that should qualify a ballot measure for this November that will permit voters to ratify or reject the actions of the legislature that created the most restrictive abortion law in these United States, and it was signed by their governor on March 6th. And, Kate, this will be a straight up or down vote, as the Republicans like to say, a single issue. You either, as a voter, approve or disapprove of this measure?
Yes, that's correct. With vote, we're hoping that the voters will vote to repeal the abortion ban. And we're very confident that they will. This is just far too extreme, even for the people in South Dakota.
And what does your polling show? You were breaking up just before the last break, and what you were starting to say is that it's not a pro-choice state, but because this law is so extreme, many people who might not define themselves as pro-choice would likely vote to repeal it.
That's right, and definitely because this is such an extreme bill, it has no exception for the health of the woman, has no exception for rape and incest victims. The vast majority of South Dakotans are opposed to that kind of really extreme measure, and we believe because of that, they will vote to repeal this law.
Mm-hmm. And are there elected officials who are standing up for women's rights to choose?
Well, yes, there are. We had, when this vote was taken in the Senate, there were 12 no votes and 23 votes in favor of the abortion ban. The goal at this point is to change the face of the South Dakota legislature in addition to repealing the abortion ban, because just repealing the abortion ban does very little for us if we are not able to influence the legislators as well.
Because they could turn around and do it again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that puts us no further ahead than we were before. So.
Yeah. And is there any traction on this angle that, essentially the legislature in South Dakota, with the cooperation of this governor, they are really simply trying to create the test case to overturn all abortion rights in this country? Do people get the significance and the scope of this effort?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure that the average person in South Dakota understands the full implications for access to safe and legal abortion in this country. But, I think that certainly there is some discomfort with the idea that we're being used as a pawn in this national effort. And people in South Dakota are opposed to being used and manipulated in that way. And I think that'll be a really strong message for us in this campaign.
We're talking with Kate Luby from Planned Parenthood. If you have a question or comment, you can join us, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. One of the things I've read, Kate, is that Indian tribes have discussed the possibility of permitting clinics to operate on their sovereign territory, which would put it outside of the reach of the state of South Dakota. Is anyone actively pursuing those possibilities?
There's a tribal leader in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, one of the poorest counties in the entire country, who is making some overtures about possibility of putting a clinic that would provide abortion care on the reservation if South Dakota bans all abortions. And, certainly that would be a viable option, potentially. But at this point, we feel pretty strongly that we need to be focusing our efforts and attention at preventing this abortion ban from ever taking place and taking effect in the state of South Dakota, so that all women in South Dakota can have access to safe and legal health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you have any angles on legal challenges that you could bring to this law to, let's assume that this referendum process, for whatever reason, doesn't produce the result you desire.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have legal angles to attack this law under the current precedent, Roe v. Wade?
Certainly. I mean, we all know that you cannot ban abortions in South Dakota under our current Supreme Court precedent. And if the voters do not repeal this law, we would still have the option of filing a lawsuit and likely would do so. But we're very optimistic and very hopeful that voters in South Dakota will prevent this from ever taking effect by voting in November against it.
And again, to follow my line of thinking here, if you did have to pursue legal actions, it would ultimately go to the Supreme Court, and that's something you're probably a little worried about, given the way the court has been repacked by the Bush administration. At the same time, if it's ultimately going to wind up before the Supreme Court, it would probably be better to have it develop on your terms than along the lines of the legislature defending its actions.
Well, there's certainly no guarantee that the Supreme Court would even hear this case. In fact, most legal scholars believe that they would not accept the case. at this point in time. Now, if there's another change in the court, that could change, and they could potentially hear it. But again, you know, we have some new justices on that court that we don't know how they would vote on something as completely radical and culturally changing in our nation as an abortion ban. So the idea that our opponents have that this is a sort of a slam dunk with the Bush Supreme Court, I think maybe a little far-reaching and overly optimistic.
Well, I do share your view, Kate, that we don't know how Roberts and Alito would rule, and I'd kind of like to keep it that way.
Well, I'm right there with you, and we are going to do everything we can to prevent that.
Kate, I want to ask you about this group in Washington that's called the American Center for Law and Justice. Their chief counsel is a guy named Jay Sekulow. You familiar with them?
I don't believe I am. Tell me more.
Well, Pat Robertson's the funder, the primary funder for this group, and they raise money from evangelicals, and they file briefs, usually amicus briefs, in cases that meet their criteria for, in my view, imposing their moral values on the entire nation. So I'm on their email list, and this guy, Jay Sekulow, has a nationally broadcast radio show. He's on in over 100 cities, and he's the kind of guy who can call his loyal listeners and say, you know, I need a 1,000 emails on Capitol Hill today, and it usually happens. So I'm on his email list, and he sent me this last week related to the Gonzalez versus Carhartt case, and they're trying to raise some money around it. And here are two paragraphs that I'd like to read to you and get your response. He writes, the opposition, including the National Abortion Federation, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the National Organization for Women, continues to pour money into a multi-million dollar abortion lobby. They are bringing an inordinate amount of money to this case because the substantial profits of the multi-million dollar abortion industry are at stake. Now, let me take this in two pieces. It's fair to say that there is a pro-choice lobby comprised of the groups he lists, and that they do have budgets of that would amount to multi-million dollars. That's accurate, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's true.
All right. But is there a multi-billion dollar abortion industry, and does it produce substantial profits? I find that questionable on the face of it.
Well, certainly in my Planned Parenthood affiliate, and particularly in my Planned Parenthood very small realm of two very small clinics, mostly providing family planning services and some limited abortion care, in which we have to fly doctors in from another state in order to be able to perform abortion procedures in South Dakota, there is nothing profitable. We lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in our operations in South Dakota every year just in order to be able to provide access to safe and legal abortion care and affordable contraception for women in South Dakota. The idea that we are somehow raking in millions of dollars by doing this is so absurd, and just it does not exist.
And there is no such thing as an abortion industry. There are clinics that are operated by different groups. Some of them are medical companies. Some of them are nonprofits like yours. But to characterize it this way is just flatly false.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. It's so outrageous. You know, we are a healthcare provider. We have medical clinics that provide responsible, confidential healthcare to our patients. And there's nothing, we're providing abortion care to women who need that care. But mostly what we're doing is helping women to prevent the need for abortion by providing them access to affordable and accessible family planning services.
Yeah. Kate Luby, thanks for joining us today. And do check out Jay Sekulow. He's dangerous. And
I will.
He's got a lot of followers. He's working the other side of the street there.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Kate Luby, South Dakota Director for Planned Parenthood USA. And the signatures were submitted today, 38,000. And if it all goes according to plan, that'll put the abortion ban signed into law on March 6th on the November ballot and let voters decide. Coming up next, journalist Dar Jamail joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking about the countless massacres in Iraq not just Haditha. That's next, here on the PBC Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another very bad day in Iraq, and in some places,
insurgents and terrorists are not just making life miserable, but are actually in control.
Another blind alley in the search for Jimmy Hoffa.
The FBI does not give up and will pursue all logical investigations no matter how much time has passed.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As U.S. troops' strength in Iraq is bolstered with 1,500 troops from Kuwait, the insurgents have stepped up their attacks. A suicide bombing at a car dealership south of Baghdad was one of three major attacks today, claiming more than 50 lives. The violence escalated as the Pentagon released a report measuring security and stability in Iraq.
Average weekly attacks on Americans and Iraqis, more than 600 a week, the highest level ever. Average daily casualties, that's killed and wounded, American troops down from 25 2 years ago to about 15. But Iraqis, both civilian and military, way up, from 30 to nearly 80.
CBS News correspondent David Martin reports that in some places like Ramadi, the insurgents are actually in control. Retired Major Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
If this administration is going to resurrect the support of the American people, what they're saying publicly and what American people see on the TV are going to have to come a lot closer together.
CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier and her crew were capturing some of those images yesterday when they became victims of a bomb. Cameraman Paul Douglas and soundman James Brolin were killed, along with a U.S. soldier and an Iraqi interpreter. Dozier nearly died but got quick treatment from trauma experts before being flown to the U.S. military hospital at Landstuhl, Germany.
She had surgery twice yesterday on injuries to her legs and on her head to remove shrapnel from her skull. She was able to wiggle her toes as she was admitted. Tonight, she remains sedated and faces more surgery.
CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker in Landstuhl. Vice President Linda Mason visited Dozier today and came away encouraged.
I know she's a fighter. She's really tough, and I think she's going to help them pull her out of this. I think it's very much in her nature to be fighting as hard as she can.
Now this.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serving the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale is right up my alley because I'm a car. Hey, I'm driving here. And since cars need pampering, I'm revved up about all the great deals on popular Goodyear tires. Plus, with a qualifying purchase, I can get my treads tapping with a limited edition Cars original soundtrack and up to a $100 Goodyear cash card. The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale makes me happy to be a car.
See Disney and Pixar's Cars in theaters June 9th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer near you. Sale and mail-in offers end June 17th. Restrictions apply.
The FBI has come up empty-handed in its latest search for Jimmy Hoffa.
After a thorough and comprehensive search, no remains of Mr. Hoffa have been located, and absent any additional new information, our work here has been concluded.
Assistant Special Agent Judy Shaleen, as they wrapped up work at a horse farm in suburban Detroit, once owned by a Hoffa associate, a team of experts combed the site for 2 weeks, and by one agent's estimate, the search cost $250,000.
We do not put a price tag on kidnapping, murder investigations, as we treat all human life on an equal basis.
Jimmy Hoffa disappeared in the summer of 1975. John Allen Muhammad, convicted along with Lee Boyd Malvo for a sniper killing in Virginia, was found guilty on 6 counts of murder in Maryland today.
These two men will never roam our streets again and will live the rest of their lives in a cage.
Prosecutor Doug Gansler.
This doesn't change Muhammad's life very much at all. He's already on death row in Virginia after a capital case there that is unlikely to be reversed on appeal. So he will spend his prison time there with this Maryland conviction and life sentence sort of hanging in suspension in case somehow it's needed.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Muhammad acted as his own attorney at this trial, and his young accomplice Malvo testified against him. The sniper attacks in the Washington area in the fall of 2002 left 10 people dead. Around the world, the owners of nearly a million Toyotas will be getting recall notices to fix a steering problem. The recall includes 170,000 Priuses sold in this country. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Michelin presents a Michelin Manifesto.
The Michelin Man is encouraging drivers to hang up the phone and bring some concentration to the driver's seat. Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on both wet and dry pavement, so you'll have the confidence and uncompromising performance to focus in on achieving blacktop bliss. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
From the left coast, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold talks about George W. Bush, Kenny Boy Lay, and the Enron verdicts. But first, Dar Jamail on massacres in Iraq. Dar Jamail is an independent journalist who spent over 8 months in Iraq. He's appeared on our program many times in the past, and today he posted a powerful commentary at truthout.org. It's entitled Countless My Lai Massacres in Iraq. Dar, thank you for joining us again today.
Oh, my pleasure, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, these are important subjects. It's difficult. Today, another bloody day in Baghdad, and on the heels of an attack on a CBS News crew, two killed, and Kimberly Dozier was a survivor there. And, of course, those are the things that Americans hear about. We also heard Congressman Murtha over the long holiday weekend once again saying that what happened in Haditha is deeply troubling and tragic, and he says that ultimately it could be worse than Abu Ghraib. But you point out in your piece that Haditha and the other town, Hatinanaya, I think it's called. These are sites of just two incidents, and there are many others with larger fatalities and more troubling circumstances. Let's first up talk about the event Saturday, May 13th, 2006, that you cite in the third paragraph of your piece.
Right. This is basically a situation similar to Haditha that I pointed out. This one occurred in Latafia, which is an area south of Baghdad where there's been much fighting, and it's been a very big trouble spot for the U.S. military. But what happened there basically is it followed the heels of a shot down in that area. And on May 13th at 10 o'clock at night, U.S. forces and Iraqi National Guard basically assaulted the area, shelling homes, detaining some people, and killing at least 25 people, and apparently what was yet another reprisal attack, much like Haditha. This sort of thing has happened in other areas as well, and that's really what inspired me to write the piece with all this new media play on Haditha. That it, I think it's very important that people understand that Haditha is just the tip of the iceberg, much like when the Abu Ghraib prison scandal photos came out in late April and early May 2004. Those were and are just the tip of the iceberg of what is essentially a massive systemic problem with the occupation.
And in your article, you cite a group called the Monitoring Net of Human Rights, or MHRI, in Baghdad. This is a non-governmental, so this is an independent organization based there in Iraq. What is their focus, and how did they assist you in developing this information, Dar?
This is a group that actually was formed in the wake of both of the assaults on Fallujah. Many of the people that are members of this group are from Fallujah, but then they also now have members in other cities around Iraq where this type of human rights abuses are becoming more and more common, such as in Latifia. It's a group that will send representatives out. Anytime there are suspected atrocities committed, they'll go and if nothing else, just log them and try to make this information public. And I know a couple of these individuals personally, and that's where I get the information from them. This is the same group that did their own survey in Fallujah following the November 2004 siege and found that between 4,000 and 6,000 people were killed from that assault alone. So that's another thing that I bring up in my piece. If we're going to talk about massacres in Iraq, we'd most certainly have to talk about both sieges of Fallujah, and especially the November siege.
Indeed, and we will come back to that. Following your scenario here, also on May 15th of this year, MHRI reported that the Yarmouk district of Baghdad, in that area, U.S. forces raided the home of Essam Fidyan al-Rawi, who was killed along with his son Ahmed, and soldiers reportedly removed the two bodies along with a nephew who was then detained. So that's just another example of this kind of attack on civilians. And, of course, it's difficult for us to make a judgment from here, particularly on events that are so fresh. But when you see the pattern, it does lead you to sense that Haditha is not an exception or some sort of anomaly.
Exactly, and I think that's really one of the most important points that we can discuss about this topic, that it's a pattern with many, many parallels in so many of the situations where the, again, if we look at Haditha, the immediate response of the military was to put out some false news stories on it saying they were attacked, and then not only by a roadside bomb, but by a large contingent of armed men. The Marines fought back heroically. They killed 8 of these armed men, and then the 15 civilians that were killed that they initially reported were killed by the roadside bomb. Of course, that story has now been completely debunked. We can say the same thing when we talk about how they tried to cover up using white phosphorus on civilians in Fallujah. We can say the same thing about the other couple of instances that we've noted just right now about when forces have gone in. Again, they're portrayed as fighting insurgents and terrorists and such. And the reality is now in Iraq, more often than not, it is civilians who are being killed by these U.S. operations.
Well, and it took George W. Bush almost 2 years to recognize and publicly offer even a limited apology for Abu Ghraib. In his joint press conference with Tony Blair last week, he was asked about to enumerate missteps, and he said, well, some of my tough talk, and he mispronounced Abu Ghraib, but he mispronounces a lot of things. You know, based on that, I guess somewhere just before he leaves office in 2008, Bush might acknowledge Haditha and the other potential atrocities that you describe in this piece.
Well, I think I can speak for both of us in saying let's not hold our breath on that one. But without a doubt, these atrocities are continuing on, and I think we can certainly expect these stories coming out of Iraq. both from American soldiers, as they already are. I've spoken with soldiers personally who've talked about atrocities they've committed or their unit has committed in Iraq. And again, since this is just the tip of the iceberg, much like what started to happen in Vietnam, even years before the U.S. withdrew, these stories started to come back, both by media there in the country, as well as soldiers coming back home and talking about this. And there's no way that the Bush administration and their propaganda machine can stop that from happening. And I think this is something we should expect to get used to seeing in the coming years, since there really is no end of this occupation in sight.
Dar Jamail with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Dar, I have to say that often when John Murtha of Pennsylvania makes a public statement these days, I kind of scratch my head a little bit and say, wow, consider the source. Jack Murtha is one of the top supporters of the Pentagon in the House. He is one of the number one recipients of campaign contributions, not only from defense contractors, but also from the contractors who manage the boondoggle that we call the Strategic Defense Initiative, or Star Wars, missile defense. And yet he has been really spot on these issues. He's the first to call attention to Haditha, and he has followed up by saying that while he has great empathy for the stress and strain that troops are under, that he calls them as he sees them, and that he believes there was a substantial effort at cover-up in the Haditha incident. Are you surprised by Murtha?
Well, it's very interesting that we have an individual like Murtha. It's interesting for all the reasons you just described, that this man has kind of become really come on to the anti-war side and really is stressing all of these countless problems in the occupation with his credentials. He seems like kind of the least likely candidate to do so. But again, it's indicative to people and important for people to remember that how bad it's become in Iraq, where someone like Murtha, who was really in support of this whole thing from the beginning, is now essentially acting as a sounding board for the top-ranking U.S. military generals about Iraq. These are generals who want the occupation over or want far more troops to be sent. Just have either way you look at it, they have very, very different views and opinions about what needs to happen, as opposed to someone like Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and they're using Murtha to get that message across to the American people. Look, the military machine is broken. The occupation cannot continue like this. It's being run miserably. It's an absolute disaster, and I think we can also continue to look for Murtha to keep putting forth this type of information.
We're going to take a break here and continue with Dar Jamail in just a minute. You can read his work at darjamailiraq.com, D-A-H-R-J-A-M-A-I-L, Iraq, you know how to spell that, .com. And just got this by email from my friend Brad at bradblog.com, and he has posted the link to the video of Congressman Murtha describing the cover-up of the Haditha massacre. So if you go to bradblog.com, you can pull that up and watch it for yourself. More in a moment here, and if you'd like to join us, call us right now, 888-579-2540, toll-free, or on the Central Coast, a local call at 831-899-5792. Dar Jamail and more next, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens,
He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic on this Tuesday that feels like a Monday, and we've got Metro Diane on duty.
Well, we have a two-vehicle accident in Santa Cruz. Southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, two vehicles are blocking the left-hand lane there. An accident reported in Aptos at southbound Highway 1 before Soquel Drive. In Carmel, Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue, keep your eyes open. There's a tire in the roadway there. And in Hollister, Highway 25 at Shore Road, a stalled vehicle with its flashers on the right-hand shoulder. This report is brought to you by your Northern California Chevy dealer. Put a cap on gas prices. Go to fuelprotection.com to find out how. You could pay only $1.99 a gallon for a full year and learn about Chevy fuel price protection. Event ends July 5th. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540.
Let's do it.
Minutes past the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Right after the next break, we'll be joined by Jason Leopold. We'll talk about the connections between Kenny Boy Lay and George W. Bush. We continue with Dar Jamail. His powerful new piece posted at truthout.org today is a must-read. It's headlined, Countless My Lai Massacres in Iraq. And Dar, in the commentary here, the article you wrote, I want to lift a paragraph here. Because you describe a representative of the Voice of Freedom Association for Human Rights, another Iraqi organization, and they filed this report about Bani Zaid, or Fursan Village. And it says, the village of 60 houses inhabited by Sunni families was attacked on February 27, 2006, by groups of men wearing black clothes and driving cars from the Ministry of Interior. Most of the villagers escaped, but eight were caught and immediately executed. One of them was the imam of the village mosque, Abu Aisha, and another was a 10-year-old boy, Adnan Madab. They were executed inside the room where they were hiding. Many animals were shot by the armed men also. The village mosque and most of the houses were destroyed and burnt. Now, this brings up a number of questions for me, because in recent weeks we've been told that our military is trying to put an Iraqi face on most military operations. Yet we know that there is ethnic cleansing going on between the Sunni and Shia factions, and that they use various guises, including the fact that some Shia and Sunnis have infiltrated both the police and the army that's run by the Ministry of Interior. And so this makes it even more complicated to assess who might be responsible for a specific atrocity like this one in Bani Zaid.
It really does, and I include that, and I go on to quote an independent journalist from New York named Aaron Gupta, who, in my opinion, Aaron has done the best research on militias and U.S. backing and involvement in them, and he goes on to cite an example which would apply to what was behind the atrocity that you just described of the death squads, the U.S.-backed death squads. And if we look at these, he talks about the fact that just looking at there was an Iraqi highway patrol supposedly set up, which is a bit of a farce if you've been to Iraq and know that the highways are essentially death zones and there's no security on them whatsoever. They're basically run by either gangs or various militias. So this Iraqi Highway Patrol, and he traced this all back to U.S. government documents, was essentially a death squad in disguise. They were armed, funded, trained, and even built bases by U.S. contractors for them to operate as a death squad. So they could basically go on the highways and pull people over and check their IDs and then execute them depending on which tribe or sect of Islam they belong to. And that's the other really face of what's going on with these atrocities is it's not just the U.S. military doing these type of things from time to time, but it's these death squads that are doing it en masse. I mean, they're responsible in just the last few months for the majority of these deaths where thousands of Iraqis are being killed. And basically every day in Baghdad, people wake up, and depending on where you are, you're liable to find scores of bodies in the streets of your neighborhood of men turning up, shot in the head, typically with their hands tied behind their back, many of them with very obvious and grotesque signs of torture. And again, it's just important for people to remember that these death squads were instituted while John Negroponte was not so coincidentally the ambassador to Iraq. This is the same John Negroponte who was ambassador to Honduras during the Reagan administration, who set up the death squads there. And the John Negroponte who in January 2005 was the Iraqi ambassador for the U.S. And this was the same time when Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld was talking about using the quote-unquote Salvador option in Iraq.
And so as we look at the picture, we have incidents where we can clearly isolate U.S. Culpability, or at least make the connection that it was American forces that went over the line. But we also have daily events where both Sunnis attack Shia and vice versa. And there are specific neighborhoods. I read an article over the weekend that the Abu Ghraib area west of Baghdad is being cleansed. And that I believe Shias who live there have been told they've got to get out. And so people back it up with kidnappings and murders. And it really seems that the U.S. has fostered this, and there's no way now that we can control it.
That's exactly what's happened. It's gone. It has absolutely spiraled out of their control. And I think it started with them essentially setting up death squads to try to cut in to the Iraqi resistance, which is primarily Sunni, or, well, it was, but that's a bit of a different topic when we start talking about the South and the rising violent resistance now against the British, which is all from a Shia resistance at this point. But talking just about the primary resistance up until the last few months was Sunni. So these death squads were devised by the U.S., by Negroponte and Rumsfeld to go in and sort of cut away and try to undermine that. And it did do that to a certain extent where now it has generated fighting among Shia and Sunni as opposed to a more unified Iraqi resistance that's launching attacks primarily against occupation forces.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have essentially, though, as you said, definitely spiraled out of control where neighborhoods are being cleansed. It's going both ways. Shia neighborhoods are basically being cleansed of Sunni and vice versa. And this is, of course, heightening tensions and leading toward an ever-escalating sectarian civil war.
And we have a situation reported over the weekend from Kabul, Afghanistan, that is deeply troubling, where a convoy, an American convoy, went through a certain neighborhood. There apparently was an accident, they say, that started it. And then the convoy guys went crazy, and they trashed a bunch of cars. They attempted to drive over pedestrians, and there was a riot almost citywide in Kabul. Now, I, again, will await some analysis here to see exactly what happened, but based on the initial accounts, this is another case of American troops gone crazy.
Well, you did actually describe it quite correctly, where an American convoy caused a large traffic accident, and then troops were essentially penned in and panicked and started driving over cars, and they claimed to have fired into the above the heads of crowds, but I've actually seen footage of them firing directly into crowds.
Dar, we got to stop there. We'll pursue it further, and thank you for your good work. Read it at truthout.org. Dar Jamail on the Peter B. Collins Show, where Jason Leopold joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology,
the MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day. In-house, for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the left coast, and we're heading eastward, now on the air in Eureka, Monterey, Sacramento, and Phoenix. Coming up next hour, we'll get our weekly debrief from Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll talk about Dollar Bill Jefferson, Jim Sensenbrenner's hearing on the raid on Jefferson's office in the Capitol, and a lot more, too. And it's time now for Jason Leopold, a weekly visit here on the Peter B. Collins Show, the investigative reporter from truthout.org. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing fine today, and how about you?
Pretty good. It was a nice three-day weekend, beautiful weather, barbecue. It was perfect.
Oh, good. And yeah. I enjoyed the piece that you posted yesterday Truthout, because it ties together the work that you did regarding the energy crisis here in California going back a few years, the connections to Enron, and the fact that the Bush administration had absolutely no relationship whatsoever with Ken Lay and the people at Enron as it was going down.
Exactly. And it's funny because last week we obviously, you know, spent some time speaking about that. And, you know, with the guilty verdicts on Thursday, it's pretty much, you know, it's done. The Enron saga, the movie, if you will, you know, has now come to a close. And it's actually ended without real fanfare, in a sense. You know, as you remember, when the whole bankruptcy happened and the scandal and what was going on, it was all over the news, front page. And, you know, when I put this piece together, it for me was also, you know, just putting together, you know, the past 5 years of work that I did, especially, you know, in the investigative area, just, you know, tying up the loose ends and the relationships it had, the company had with Bush, which, you know, most people forget.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they really, you know, the relationships ran very deep. And, you know, aside from the fact that President Bush had referred to Ken Lay as Kenny Boy, you know, let's get into the fact that, you know, Dick Cheney had Ken Lay write part of the recommendations for the energy policy, recommending a couple of people for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, you know, the governmental body that, you know, watches over as sort of the watchdog to make sure the, you know, there's no manipulation, if you will.
Right, they sent Pat Wood over to chair the FERC, and he was a very reliable old boy from Texas.
Yeah, and you know, well, the other thing that's interesting in there that you know, when I was putting all this together, is that one of the individuals who had you'll have to forgive me, but Mr. Kelleher, Kellieher, who mm-hmm. used to work for the Energy Department, the Department of Energy. He actually sent an email out. He was part of Dick Cheney's task force.
Right.
But he sent an email to an Enron lobbyist saying, if you were king or il duce, what would you like to see in the national energy policy? I mean, they were, at this point, you know, the Bush administration was soliciting Enron's input, you know, asking them to, you know, what would you like? What would you like in here? So I think it really is important, if you know, as we close the book on Enron, to at least you know, show how involved this administration was, particularly how it turned a blind eye to California during the energy crisis. That is the one area that we still not have, you know, heard, nor will we hear the administration taking any responsibility for when Governor Davis was out there saying, hey, you know, Enron is ripping off this market. Enron is manipulating the California energy market. And, you know, many people may disagree with me, but it really had a Gray Davis's handling of it, while that, you know, whether he did a good or bad job is under debate. The fact is that his recall was tied to it. And, you know, Enron played a big role in that.
Yeah, Joseph Kelleher is the man you're looking
Kelleher,
for.
Yes.
And he replaced Wood as the chairman of FERC Wood resigned in 2005. Now, I want to take us back to the summer of 2001, because many people can remember some of those dates now. It was August 6th that the memo was delivered that Al-Qaeda intended to attack the United States.
Right.
Bush was on vacation in Crawford, and this was, I believe, a 4.5 or 5 week vacation where he didn't surface that much. And at this time, you document that starting on August 15th of 01, which was the day after or the day when, yeah, the day after Jeff Skilling resigned. That Enron lobbyist Pat Shortridge met with a White House economic advisor, Robert McNally, and let him know that Enron was tanking, and the request was made for some sort of a bailout measure.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the fascinating thing is that much of this information is documented. There is thousands of pages of the administration's, I guess you could call it, communication with Enron. You know, who they spoke to at the, you know, at the company on specific days. That is actually, you know, in the public domain. And you know, when Jeff Skilling resigned, going back, I went to look back at the, you know, at what Enron shares looked like. His resignation really had a very big impact on the company, on Wall Street, and you know, he was sort of the individual that the glue that everyone thought kept the company together. And the fact that this meeting happened and that it was documented, and on top of it that Alberto Gonzalez, who was the White House counsel at the time, said, "Oh yes, they met, but you know, nothing was discussed. No Enron was." There's no difference in the way that they respond to something like this and the way they're responding to the news today.
Let me quote a great writer here, and I'm talking about you. In late 2001, Alberto Gonzalez, who at the time was Bush's chief counsel, refused to comment on the substance of the August 15th meeting between McNally and Shortridge, in which McNally was tipped off to Enron's coming demise. Gonzalez said there was no known instance of Enron asking the White House for help prior to its bankruptcy proceedings. But according to Enron's December 2001 bankruptcy filing, the company did just that. What do those documents tell us, Jason?
Well, basically, that's what's so amazing, is that the documents actually say that, you know, Ken Lay made some phone calls, you know, asked various people at the White House besides the folks in White House economic advisor and various other officials to see if they can get Wall Street to, you know, not to downgrade Enron's credit rating, which basically what that would have done is it would have triggered the release of, you know, cash, having to pay back loans, having to, you know, repay Wall Street. And it would actually, what a downgrade in your credit rating would be a signal that, you know, you could be headed toward bankruptcy. So, In this bankruptcy filing, you know, they actually listed in numerous instances when they contacted the White House, specifically Ken Lay picking up the phone, and not a single individual at the White House would, you know, own up to that. Would, if anything, people were just unloading shares of Enron at that time. I mean, Karl Rove had shares. You know, Karl Rove's my favorite guy these days, but he had a thousand shares of Enron. He did some work for Enron. He unloaded it. Of course, it was well before, I think it was in June of 2001. But it was right around, like, you know, California energy crisis. These guys were, you know, everybody was in the know at this time. And it's documented. Of course,
you also, Jason, mention other, top administration officials who were close to Enron, including Larry Lindsey. Robert Zoellick, who is now the number two at State and just got passed over for the Commerce Secretary job he was angling for. You mentioned Karl Rove, and also Mark Rassico, who was a former governor and former chair of the Republican National Committee, who had worked as a lobbyist for Enron. And let's not forget Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed, absolutely. You know, these guys were – Enron was at this time was a company that wielded – enormous power. And, you know, whether or not, you know, the Bush administration should have bailed out the company, they clearly, something should have been done. You know, think about it in terms of, you know, Al-Qaeda. You know, did they, I'm not comparing the two, but what I'm saying is that clearly the Bush administration was tipped off to that in August. Mm-hmm. You know, there was their presidential daily briefing. It seems to me that, you know, that at this point in time, this really was a true summer vacation. People were really on vacation because that the loss of jobs at Enron, the $60 billion in shareholder value that's lost. People who lost their life savings and pension is enormous. I mean, I actually know a lot of people at Enron who, you know, to this day are you know, had to sell their houses, are totally bankrupt, don't have a job. It's actually a very sad story. The numerous people who have not been able to bounce back. You know, I'm talking just the, you know, the regular employees there. Mm-hmm. But again, this is, you know, at the time that this happened, the California energy crisis was at its peak. We had days of rolling blackouts. And instead, you know, while Dick Cheney was meeting with Ken Lay crafting this national energy policy, you know, you had Gray Davis out there saying, we need some help here. You know, we can't control this. And, you know, Dick Cheney said, hey, it's your fault, Gray. You guys put this terrible, you know, deregulation policy in place, and you went ahead and bankrupted Pacific Gas and Electric at the same time. Well, it turns out that Dick Cheney was absolutely wrong. You know, we're still, the state of California is still fighting to get back, you know, tens of millions of dollars that, that's owed as a result. It's
actually State Senator Joe Dunn was on the program last week reacting to the verdicts, and, he complimented your work, and he also talked about, when I asked him, the tab to California for the whole hosing that we suffered at the hands of these manipulative energy traders and producers was in excess of $50 billion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you look at it in comparison to previous years, to, you know, 1999, 2000, I mean, what they literally robbed California. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. They robbed California. They found the a way to exploit the rules, and they did it. And you know, we had an administration that sat by and just watched it happen.
Yeah, Jason, and, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter. Read the piece we're talking about at truthout.org. It's available on the homepage right there. And as we continue, we'll talk more about Enron and the verdicts last week and get an update on RoveWatch, too. If you have a question or comment, or like me, you're a burned former Enron shareholder, get on the line now, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. Or call us toll-free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave the Coastal Gardener every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic this afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Monterey, northbound 1 at 68. Four vehicles involved in this. There are injuries reported, so emergency crews en route for that. In Carmel, Highway 1 at Ocean Avenue, a tire in the roadway. Also reports of an accident, so keep your eyes open for that. CHP going to be en route checking that out. In Aptos, southbound Highway 1 before Soquel Drive, two-vehicle accident has been cleared out of the roadway, is now on the right-hand shoulder. And in Watsonville, Calabasas Road at Buena Vista Drive, multiple vehicles parked in the bike lane there, so it is causing a bit of a visual hazard. And an earlier accident in Gonzales, northbound 101 at Campora Gloria Road, has been cleared. This report is brought to you by Chevrolet. Get the facts on Chevy fuel efficiency. Compare Chevy head-to-head. Go to Edmunds.com. I'm Dying with Traffic on KRXA 540.
This is how we do it.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the fallout from the Enron verdicts in Houston last week. Kenny Boy and Jeff Skilling going to the slammer. And our own Tommy Panic reported that they're going to actually build a club fed with the new Bush Library in Texas so that Kenny Boy and others will have a comfortable place to serve out their sentences. We'll have to wait and see if that actually turns out true. We continue with Jason Leopold. He really broke a lot of the stories related to the California energy crisis, followed the Enron saga in detail. And, of course, he has the new book out called News Junkie, which is a must-read. And, Jason, Greg Palast kicked off our show earlier today. His new book, Armed Madhouse, really
yeah.
does a fascinating job of connecting a lot of these different elements of the excesses and failings of the Bush administration into not a giant conspiracy theory, but
right.
a book that acknowledges the interrelatedness between the war in Iraq and the interests of Dick Cheney's Energy Commission.
Well, you know, and I actually read Greg's book, which I think is fascinating, and it's true. I mean, it's such an incestuous relationship between, you know, big business and these guys who, by the way, you know, not coincidentally, used to run some of these major corporations that are getting some of these contracts.
Yeah.
And I think that the, you know, unfortunately, or I shouldn't say unfortunately, you know, many of the so-called conspiracy theories are actually, you know, is the real story. This is, they're not conspiracy theories. They're actually, you know, the news. It's actually what's happening, especially when it comes to this administration. And, you know, Greg definitely did an amazing job linking that together because that's, you know, that takes obviously a lot of time and a lot of work, which is something that clearly is, you know, there's a void in, you know, American mainstream journalism for, you know, connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, let me put you on the spot here for a minute. If you were going to write a book called Enron for Dummies, you know,
yeah.
and really explain to us how to do it, what would be three or four of the key elements? If I wanted to be the next Ken Lay or Jeff Skilling and, you know, take a little company and expand it exponentially,
right.
and, of course, I would rather not crash the way they did. But what were you, in your view, what were the key elements to the way they, you know, steroidized that company?
You know, it was really, it's funny because, you know, this company started out as basically a pipeline company. It was Jeff Skilling that really, you know, turned it into this bloated, you know, this behemoth of nothingness, in a sense, you know, this house of cards. And, you know, Ken Lay, you know, Jeff Skilling was the brains. He was the guy that was, you know, the market maker, the one who can, you know, turn on Wall Street with his, you know, he was sort of like a rock star, in a sense. You know, Ken Lay was the guy who greased, you know, the palms of local federal politicians, really, you know, talked up, you know, the governmental side and how this is going to, you know, benefit, you know, all different states. I mean, when it comes to deregulation, you know, Jeff Skilling was the guy who went before the California legislature and pitched this. You know, it's deregulation. It's this thing of deregulating the electricity industry that really helped Enron reap all these profits. I mean, that's what it was.
make no mistake about it. I mean, you know, Enron didn't own any power plants or anything like that. They basically bought and sold electricity, sold it, you know, and sold it right back to California. And you know, they had this trading platform. But it was a lot of talk. I mean, if you think about it this way, you know, Jeff Skilling and Ken Lay, in a sense, they're like snake oil salesmen. They went in, set up a tent, put it up, and, you know, called out to people like these, you know, like in a carnival. And, you know, people are like, whoa, look at this. This is amazing. This is great. And, you know, when things started going south, they closed up that tent and left.
Well, and given that Arthur Andersen was their consultant, helped them structure these offshore deals where they parked their losses, it's fair to say that there probably are other Enrons that have been stumbling along and managed to avoid that kind of a debacle, but that have to be pumped up on phony financial statements and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, by the way, let me just also say that Alberto Gonzalez, who, you know, he used to work for Vinson and Elkins, which was Enron's law firm.
Right.
I just want to make that point.
They're all old boys on that bus.
But just to sort of demonstrate the incestuous relationship, you know, there are a lot of, you know, companies out there. I'll actually give you an example of a pretty good one. Kinder Morgan. Rich Kinder is a guy who used to be number two man at Enron back in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. He left, started Kinder Morgan, turned into a, you know, a great pipeline company, really, really, you know, made its mark in the energy industry. Now, I don't know if there's any sort of financial shenanigans. I certainly actually was checking it out after, you know, the Enron bankruptcy, but, you know, the questions started to come out, and there wasn't. So that's a guy who actually, you know, said, hey, here's our niche. This is what we're going to stick to, and let's focus on this. And they made enormous amounts of money. Enron, on the other hand, you know, there was a point when Jeff Skilling wanted to sort of start trading trading weather derivatives is what they called it. You know, hey, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? Well, it's trading at 40. You know, that's exactly what happened. That happened, you know, at a point when they felt that they could do anything.
Yeah, let's run a futures market for futures.
Well, exactly. I mean, well, I'll take it a step further. They ran the futures, what they called it, the mark-to-market accounting. Which was basically, let's say that I'm going to sell you a 10-year contract for, you know, electricity for $10 billion. And now I wouldn't actually see that money for 10 years, but Enron booked it as a profit immediately.
Yeah.
They rewrote the rules on accounting, on the financial, accounting standards. They wrote their own rules. And it was, you know, the regulators that allowed them to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Jason, we got just about a little more than a minute remaining. I wanted to get a quick update on the situation related to the CIA leak case and Rove.
Let me say that for the past 2 weeks, and since this story has been out, I have been working tirelessly to, you know, obtain more information. My editor Mark Ash put out another post today. And we're continuing to work. Now, there's a lot of things that have gone on behind the scenes that, unfortunately, Peter, I can't divulge right now. But I can say this, that we're sticking by the story because we've got, you know, we've spoken to people that actually this is 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting a lot of emails from a lot of angry people. In fact, I just got one earlier during the break. I was looking at it, and it's by a journalist, no less, who, you know, was saying that this is, you know, this whole thing, I should just admit that this was a fabrication. This is not a fabrication. What has happened right now is the indictment, we still stand by the fact that there was an indictment, is sealed. I should have actually explained the legalities of this more in the story, but there is a sealed indictment. When it's unsealed, a sealed indictment, by the way, can stay sealed for months or weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he certainly, Patrick Fitzgerald, I can tell you, was certainly not interested in, you know, getting it out so people won't be upset with me.
Right. I understand that point. Just 30 seconds, Jason. Go ahead.
Okay. And lastly, but we've worked for the past 2 weeks. We're still gathering more information. We absolutely plan to put out more updates, and when we have the amount of information that we feel will make for a good concrete story. It's going to get out there.
All right. Well, Jason, we'll keep watching, and we have not.
The question. I know there's a lot that's still unanswered, but you know, just keep an eye out.
Yeah. Well, when you rule the world, things will be different. Thank you, Jason.
Everybody wants to do.
We'll talk to you next week. Jason Leopold, read his work at truthout.org. Read his book, News Junkie, and there's more information on the book, I think, at newsjunkie.com. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone, led off by Melanie Sloan with a report on corruption in Washington. It'll be brief. Well, I wish.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that, who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Iraqi forces are said to be handling more and more of the security in the country. But the spike in terrorism recently and the deaths of 54 Iraqis today highlights the reason the Pentagon is sending about 1,500 reinforcements.
I'm confident in the future of liberty in Iraq, because I believe the people of Iraq want to live in a free society.
The additional troops are being sent up from Kuwait to tackle insurgents in the west of Iraq. One of those insurgent bombs yesterday killed two CBS News crewmen and left Kimberly Dozier badly hurt. Fellow correspondent Sheila McVicker.
I've been into the intensive care unit this morning. I've been able to briefly see Kimberly. She is sedated. She has teams of doctors and other medical specialists who are working on her, trying to assess her condition. Orthopedic surgeons, neurospecialists, critical care people trying to figure out just what comes next.
Meanwhile, the risks to reporters have everyone thinking carefully about procedure.
Possibly reporters are feeling a bit more tenuous about going out in beds with the military. This is not the first serious injury to come from those in beds. But at the same time, I don't know if the military is also a little bit leery now of taking reporters along.
Los Angeles Times Bureau Chief Megan Stack. Terrible story in Knoxville, Tennessee. The power was out in the home. A car had hit a power pole, and it was hot. In the middle of the night, little Brian Womack got up, they think, looking for a familiar, cooler place. The three-year-old boy crawled into the family car and went to sleep. Family got up late and found the little guy dead in the car at noon. Temperature inside nearly 170 degrees. The FBI is ending its search for Jimmy Hoffa's bones at Hidden Dreams Farm near Detroit. That does not mean they think the bones are not there. Special Agent Judy Shaleen says it's all about a commitment to doing what's right.
We began the search with a plan that took into consideration both anticipated cost and unanticipated cost. We do not put a price tag on kidnapping, murder investigations, as we treat all human life on an equal basis.
The search lasted about 2 weeks. A lot of earth was moved, but the bones were not found. The Teamsters' boss disappeared not far from that farm in 1975. General Michael Hayden has been sworn in as the new director of Central Intelligence. He keeps his Air Force position as he becomes head of the CIA. The remaining members of the band, The Doors, are suing Club Fred in Fresno, California. They say the club has no right to play that song and others on the jukebox because they don't pay license fees. Clubs that charge admission are supposed to pay fees for their jukebox music. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 184 points to close at 11,094. The Nasdaq was off about 45 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Michelin presents a Michelin Manifesto.
The Michelin Man is trying to match every driver up with a savvy crew chief.
Your Michelin dealer can show you how Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on wet and dry pavement, so you can achieve the confidence that comes from uncompromising performance with your car. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Where do you want to be?
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Hurricane season, on the calendar at least, begins on Thursday.
Everywhere in South Louisiana, there is still evidence of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. In the Plaquemines Parish town of Port Sulphur,
no doctors, no drugstore.
FEMA trailers are everywhere. In St. Bernard Parish, law offices and pharmacies operate out of trailers. Even a laundry, its trailers hooked up to the hoses at a car wash. In New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward, there are few trailers. Most people have not returned. Uptown resident Fabian Sherbell says it will be years before the city recovers.
It's almost a third world city, and there's just a lot of work to do.
Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New Orleans.
Pedophiles in the socially permissive Netherlands want changes in sex laws. Dutch pedophiles are launching a political party to argue for the right to take younger children to their beds. Minimum age now 16. The pedophile party wants the age lowered to 12 with an ultimate goal of scrapping the limit altogether. That's what they said. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Dad, this is my boyfriend, Scott.
So, where are you from, Scott?
Seattle.
Any brothers, sisters?
One brother.
How's your driving record?
Good.
Ever been arrested?
Huh?
Serve in the military?
Sir?
Do you have any diseases?
Dad!
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Any sports injuries?
No. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale is right up my alley because I'm a car. Hey, I'm driving here. And since cars need pampering, I'm revved up about all the great deals on popular Goodyear tires. Plus, with a qualifying purchase, I can get my treads tapping with a limited edition Cars original soundtrack and up to a $100 Goodyear cash card. The Goodyear Calling All Cars tire sale makes me happy to be a car.
See Disney and Pixar's Cars in theaters June 9th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer near you. Sale and mail-in offers end June 17th. Restrictions apply.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week, we get briefed about corruption in Washington from Melanie Sloan. She's the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, also known as CREW. And the story you're about to hear is true. Hello again, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Let's start off with Dollar Bill Jefferson. I learned about his nickname in a lengthy article over the weekend, and I guess he's trying to upgrade his nickname to $100 Bill Jefferson.
I think $100,000 Bill, perhaps.
Marked FBI $100 Bill Jefferson. James Sensenbrenner, the crusty chair of the House Judiciary Committee, who's been alienating senators over immigration legislation, held a hearing today regarding the raid Saturday night a week ago on Mr. Jefferson's Capitol Hill office.
Yes, he called that raid reckless justice. Did the Saturday night raid of Congress trample the Constitution? Do you have any idea how Mr. Sensenbrenner came out on that question?
Well, it does make for interesting intra-party friendships here because, of course, most Republicans are delighted to see a Democrat get talked about in relation to corruption investigations because it's been, well, pretty one-sided. Mostly Republicans have been facing that with two Democratic exceptions over the last few months. And here, Mr. Sensenbrenner is defending a Democrat, in essence.
In essence, and I have to tell you that I think that both parties are going to have to wake up and come to their senses pretty soon. They're going to have to realize that the American public is not going to understand why the only time Congress cares about improper searches is when they're looking at congressional offices for corruption.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't part of your purview, but I'll expand anyway, Melanie. To me, you know, the NSA spying issue, the censure proposed by Senator Feingold, those are all very significant issues to every American, and we've seen the Congress take a pass on them in general. And yet here, when it revolves around their own privacy and issues, they're really concerned.
Yes, and I think that the American public will rightfully be concerned about that. And I think when Congress is sitting there cloaking their concerns about privacy in separation of powers and constitutional doctrine, but don't care about the Fourth Amendment at all, about how it applies to the rest of everyday Americans, I think Americans will find that troubling. The fact is, why should congressional offices be sacrosanct? Should members of Congress be able to hide their crimes more than anybody else? I don't think so. And I think the American public is going to see through that. There are very few constitutional scholars at this point who are agreeing with Mr. Sensenbrenner. He found two to bring to his hearing, but I think that the far majority of people will not see a constitutional problem here. The separation of powers issue is really a question of the Congress saying, okay, well, there's this matter of comity. Comity really just means, well, this was impolite of you. This was rude. You shouldn't come in here on this kind, in this way. The other issue that comes up is the speech or debate clause. And the speech or debate clause prevents the executive branch from using things that were said on the House floor or in the legislative process against a member in a trial. But we're not talking about that here. The search of Mr. Jefferson's office does not in and of itself violate the speech or debate clause, only if certain material was the Justice Department sought to admit certain material in a trial against him. And that would be limited, by the way, to material such as floor speeches Mr. Jefferson made or legislation he was seeking to introduce. Evidence of bribery, that could still be introduced against him.
Well, I generally agree. I think that while there is an issue of precedent, that in general it appears the Justice Department went to a court, got a warrant, and then they executed the warrant. Their timing and the manner in which they did it, I think, are questionable. But fundamentally, it appears they had the right to do this.
Well, you know, I agree with you exactly, Peter. The first question of whether the Justice Department should have done this, no, I absolutely don't think they should have. They had a great case against Congressman Jefferson on bribery, $90,000 in cash in his freezer in marked bills. He was on tape soliciting the money, and he has two people who've already pleaded guilty to bribing him who are willing to testify against him. So they had a really strong case. So the fact of the matter is that why the Justice Department didn't understand that when this is the first time in history that they decided to do this, that this might raise some feathers, that was, to say misjudgment is, you know, an understatement, and they made a big mistake, and they shouldn't have started us down this path. But I think there's a big difference between what the Justice Department should have done and what they legally can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of Bill Jefferson's aides was sentenced last week, and he got hit pretty hard, 8 years.
8 years, that's right. That's a very long sentence. That seems to be the kind of sentences we're seeing in these bribery cases. Duke Cunningham got 10 years, and before Duke Cunningham, a few years back, James Traficant also got 8 years. So we can expect that when Mr. Jefferson is indicted for bribery, and he will be, he too will be looking at a sentence of 8 to 10 years.
I can't wait to hear the other side of the story. I know there is one.
That's what he tells us, and I think we're all waiting with bated breath for that.
Well, and the piece I read over the weekend, in addition to giving me the dollar bill nickname that he earned in Louisiana, turns out that at least three of his daughters are lawyers and all went to Harvard Law School, which is where he graduated from.
That's right, and those daughters are also implicated in this case because he insisted that they be hired or some of the money go into their names, the businesses be put in their names.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's turn to Neil Volz and the trial of David Safavian. That's underway, started last week. Safavian was a White House aide who then ran the General Services Administration in charge of procurement for many branches of the government. And it appears that Bob Ney has a lot to worry about based on what's going on in the Safavian trial. Tell us.
Yes, well, Neil Volz is the former chief of staff to Bob Ney, and he is the government's star witness in the Safavian trial, and he has been coming in talking about how Abramoff gave money to people in return and expected things in return, and that's here the issue with David Safavian. David Safavian claimed that Jack Abramoff was never asking him for anything when he was serving as the procurement chief for the General Services Administration, but in fact, there's a lot of emails showing that, in fact, Abramoff was asking for all sorts of stuff, and now Neil Volz is confirming that. So when Safavian told investigators that he wasn't helping Abramoff and that Abramoff wasn't asking for anything, he was lying. Something interesting that came out today in Neil Volz's testimony is Mr. Volz named several other Republican congressmen who also, he said, received who assisted Mr. Abramoff. And these included not just Bob Ney, who we knew about, but Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Representative Don Young from Alaska, and Representative Stephen LaTourette from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no member of Congress really wants to hear his or her name mentioned in a criminal bribery trial. That's bad news for them.
Yes,
and
it is.
The fact is, if these names are coming up now, that means the Justice Department has already heard them and is very likely investigating what these members of Congress may have done for Jack Abramoff and what they may have gotten from him in return.
Now, the New York Times reported today that William Heaton, who is the, let me get this right. Mr. Heaton is the current chief of staff to Bob Ney, and a former aide, Paul D. Vinovich, are resisting subpoenas by asserting their Fifth Amendment rights. Do you know much more about that?
I don't know much more about that, but that's pretty interesting news. And they're asserting their Fifth Amendment rights, like Bob Ney asserting his, he'll be asserting his Fifth Amendment rights, then we can expect to see those two gentlemen likely indicted in the near future as well.
Very interesting development. Now, finally, there is more connectivity between Ralph Reed, who, of course, was an evangelical political operator, now running for lieutenant governor, I think, in Georgia. Jack Abramoff, who we've talked about far too many times, the convicted lobbyist, and the sweatshops in the Marianas Islands. Tell us a little more about this, Melanie.
You know, Ralph Reed, frankly, just looks worse and worse every day, the more you find out about him. What we've now learned is that in August of 1999, Ralph Reed had a firm that sent out a mailer to Alabama Christian conservatives asking them to call upon a representative from Alabama who is now the who then Representative Bob Riley, and asked him to vote against legislation that would have made the Northern Marianas Islands subject to federal wage an hour and worker safety laws. The issue in the Marianas has been that it's a U.S. territory, and they get to have the Made in the USA label on the clothes without actually offering the workers the same kind of protection.
Mm-hmm. It's a sanctioned sweatshop colony.
That's exactly right. And Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff have worked very hard to protect that for many years. Well, anyway, the mailer from Ralph Reed said that if the radical left, and I'm quoting, the radical left, the big union bosses, and Bill Clinton want to pass a law preventing the Chinese from coming to work on the Marianas Islands, where the Chinese workers were exposed to the teachings of Jesus Christ while on the islands, and said that many were converted to the Christian faith and returned to China with Bibles in hand.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, there was an Interior Department report. So this is a U.S. government report that found that Chinese women who went to the Marianas Islands were subjected to forced abortions, and children were also forced into prostitution in the local sex tourism industry. So that apparently didn't bother Ralph Reed, because child sex and abortion isn't the problem. It's U.S. wage and hour laws that were the problem.
Yeah. Eleanor Smeal, one of the founders of Ms. Magazine, was on our program 2 weeks ago, and Ms. did a lengthy expose on the Marianas and the specific issues you talked about. Women who were trafficked into there had to earn back the cost of travel, say, from China to the islands at sub-minimum standard wages. And many turned to prostitution to try to generate enough money to pay off their captors and win their freedom. And ultimately, many of them were forced into abortions when they became pregnant in that manner. And that is hardly consistent with the values claimed by many of these Republicans who so stoutly defended and promoted the Marianas as a, what was it, a incubator or a crucible of capitalism, something like that.
That's right. You know, even today, a spokesman for Ralph Reed is saying that Mr. Reed was unaware of any allegations regarding inhumane or illegal treatment of workers, and he would object to such practices if true. So even today, Mr. Reed is not admitting that these well-documented practices documented by the U.S. government, still not admitting they're true.
Yeah. Melanie, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk next week.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, on the web at Citizens, F-O-R, Ethics, citizensforethics.org. The Free Speech Zone is next, and your calls or comments are welcome on any issue from any place within the sound of my voice. So grab a line right now and we'll talk. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 521, and here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Santa Cruz. Highway 1 at Davenport Avenue. Two vehicles involved in this one. They are on the right-hand shoulder. An accident in Glen Canyon Road at Mill Road. Two vehicles may be in the roadway, so CHP en route to check that out. In Monterey, northbound 1 at 68, we have a four-vehicle accident. It actually has been cleared off the roadway to a nearby parking lot. Still maybe a little bit of a residual slow traffic in the area, though. Aptos, southbound Highway 1 before SoCal Drive, a two-vehicle accident on the right-hand shoulder. This report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour.
We'll be right back.
Peter B. Collins Show as we dive into the free speech zone this afternoon. Your calls and comments are welcome, and you know the drill. Any subject, from any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You can call me on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, use the toll-free line on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Quick shout out to a new listener named Larry. Larry listens online and divides his time between Rhode Island and Costa Rica. I have no idea how he found us, but I'm glad he did. Hey, Larry. And late last night, I got an email from Jamie, a listener on the Central Coast, and she asked me if I had announced my preferences in this year's primary elections. And I have not given you a specific list, and so I'm going to run down for you how I plan to vote. And I'd like to make this very clear, that I'm going to tell you what I plan to do. And I never have the expectation that because I say so, that other people do so. I ask you to think for yourself and challenge my opinion as much as you would anyone else's. And so I do not offer these as an endorsement where I expect you once again to follow my lead. But you're welcome to chew on what I have to say and call up, talk about it, and then come to your own decision. What is fascinating to me at this point is that we are 1 week away from the primary election, and fully one-third of Democrats can't figure out whether to vote for Phil Angelides or Steve Westley. And I understand the problem many people are facing. I think that each of these guys has some negatives that are obvious, and I also think that each of them has some strengths that people know about. But there isn't that much of a clear difference between the two of them where you can say, oh, he's my guy because he's going to do X, or he's my guy because he won't do Y. And so it comes down to difficult choices based on personalities, and in my view, based on your assessment of who can beat Arnold Schwarzenegger in November. And on that basis, I will be voting for Phil Angelides. And I do have my problems with Phil. I think he's run some dirty campaigns over the years. I don't think this is one of them. But his attacks on David Roberti back in 1998 are not forgotten by many voters, and certainly not forgotten by David Roberti. He was a distinguished state senator who was running against Angelides for treasurer. So that's where I come down, and I do think that when you consider the prospect of at least one debate between Schwarzenegger and his Democratic opponent, that Angelides would fare better than Westley. And in the one debate that I saw between Angelides and Westley, Westley was terrible. He was wooden. He was reciting things. He really didn't come off as somebody who had the juice and the personality to govern the state of California. But that's what I saw in that particular debate. Lieutenant Governor, difficult choice. I've known John Garamendi and also Jackie Speier for many years, and I consider each one of them competent. I think the lieutenant governor's job is a waste of time, and that each of those individuals would be twiddling their thumbs and watching the clock as they count down a term as lieutenant governor. But it's an important stepping stone to governor, and in that case, Garamendi and Jackie Speier, to me, both have bright futures and could take the top job. Liz Figueroa is the third Democrat in the race, and while I think she's a nice person and has done a decent job as a state senator, I just frankly don't see that she offers the same level of leadership as Speier and Garamendi. So it's a tough call. I will probably vote for Garamendi. Secretary of State, it's a no-brainer to me. Deborah Bowen, the Democratic candidate from Marina Del Rey, who's been on our programs many times, really gets the electronic voting issue. Deborah Ortiz, who's a fine elected official, in my view, does not. And so Deborah Bowen clearly gets the nod there. I'm also leaning toward Joe Dunn as the Democratic nominee for controller. His chief opponent is John Chung, and Chung was on our program. I think both are bright, committed to the post. But I would say that Joe Dunn has a little more seasoning, a little more political acumen, and I'll be voting for him. No contest for treasurer. It's Bill Lockyer, attorney general. Ah, boy, that's a tough one. I kind of feel like Jerry Brown has run his course, and I'd like to see him retire. But I know he's going to win. Rocky Delgadillo really is going to come up with 20 or 25% of the vote, and so, gosh, I'll probably vote for Jerry. On insurance commissioner, I refuse to vote for Cruz Bustamante. I don't think he's been a good lieutenant governor. I think he ran a terrible race during the recall, and he has taken money from the insurance commissioner industry in this campaign for commissioner, and I cannot support him. The other Democrat on the ticket is John Kraft, who will earn my vote, even though I don't know much about him. So that's a quick rundown for next Tuesday's primary, Peter Beef style. I'd like to hear your thoughts, particularly about the Wesley Angelides race. Get on the line right now, 888-579-2540, and we'll talk here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Infiniti M35, a snazzy four-door sedan with impressive engineering. Powered by a fuel-injected 3.5-liter six-cylinder engine with a five-speed automatic and optional sport shift, it's ready to sprint on command. My demo has all the luxury accessories, notably the electronics, which have their own manual. I love the smart cruise control. It slows you down to match the traffic in front of you. The M35 has a new gizmo called Lane Departure Warning, which beeps when you start to leave your lane. When it helps, you like it. When it doesn't, it's annoying. The M35 has low clearance and rear-wheel drive, so it didn't do well on our grueling hill climb test. By the numbers, the 2006 Infiniti M35 gets 18 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for $48,000. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
He's not just another gardener in another garden.
Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Hey, summertime's here. Hop on, let's go for a ride. You're cruising with the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad to be coming out of your speakers. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. Toll-free lines available. There are at least three lines open. 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, you can save me a dime. Call us at 831-899-5792. And if you're a new listener, go to peterbcollins.com. You can find out who he is. Get links to our live stream and our archive programs as well. And we've got Mark in Monterey on the line. You're up first. Good afternoon, Mark. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I'd like to say I enjoy your show. And the reason I called is because you were going over the issues and candidates on the ballot. And, I'm disappointed that more people don't take this stuff seriously and don't do the homework. I've been really trying for years to do as much as I can, and it's difficult. But I wanted to give a pitch. The League of Women Voters has a really excellent website where they've assembled links and information on issues and candidates. They drill all the way down to your street address. And so if you just go to Google, type in Smart Voter, it'll be at the top. And you can go in there, put your address in there, and it'll give you the up-to-date information on endorsements. And like I say, it'll give you information all the way down to local measures.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, thank you for that tip. Now, tell me, have you made up your mind in the Democratic primary?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it, or you want to keep it to yourself? I don't mean to pry. I just am curious.
No, you're not prying. I can't remember exactly everybody I voted for, which is embarrassing to say, but I did do the homework.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, where did you come down between Steve Wesley and Phil Angelides?
Well, I went for Angelides.
Because?
Well, because of the endorsements and because, like, my union endorsed them, and the website seemed to have, more going for him there than the other fellow.
Mm-hmm. But Let me just ask you about this. One of the risky things that Phil Angelides has done in this electoral cycle reminds me of what Fritz Mondale tried to do when he won the Democratic nomination in San Francisco in 1984.
Yeah.
Because Mondale immediately went public and challenged the sitting president, Reagan, and said that he would raise taxes because Reagan had cut taxes, we were building a deficit, and Mondale made the case that, we needed to pay for the services that people want. And Angelides, to his credit, I believe, has challenged this governor from day one on his economic policies, and in particular on Schwarzenegger's commitment not to raise taxes.
Yeah.
And given the problems that were inherited and the legacy of the energy crisis, it cost California a total of $50 billion, not all of it directly out of the Treasury. I've always believed that Schwarzenegger's promise was misplaced. Now, the millionaires from Google and everybody else who's paying more in gasoline taxes at the pump have given a windfall to the state treasury. And so there is less pressure to raise taxes or cut programs to try to reach a balance point. It'll probably happen on the natural if we don't have any major setbacks in maybe a year or two. But I still support Angelides' call to raise taxes on the wealthiest Californians, to roll back the tax increases, we don't call them that, but the increases in tuition and fees at state universities and colleges. And I believe that is a very important investment in the future of California. And Steve Wesley has been running with a Republican-type message, attacking Angelides for wanting to raise taxes on the middle class. Well, that's not Phil's proposal. And the number that Wesley has been using, $10 billion, also has to be stretched and manipulated to get to any truthful level. So what's your take on that byplay between those two candidates and Angelides' sense of fiscal future?
Well, I agree with what with you. And, you know, people want services for free, and they just have a default assumption and mentality that they're not getting their money's worth. And that if it was private, a lot of people believe if it was privatized, it would be better. But I don't see any rational reason to believe that. You know, when people passed Prop 13, they did give some relief to some older people that couldn't afford the taxes, but nothing has been done in its place in order to produce an equitable situation in terms of gaining funds to meet services that we need.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say that we have two soak-the-rich proposals right now, Prop 82, which is Rob Reiner's universal preschool measure, and Angelita's proposal to tax the wealthiest Californians, as we just said, to roll back the tuition and fees in the college systems. And on one hand, because it wouldn't affect me, I say, well, yeah, go ahead and raise those taxes. It's kind of like the cigarette tax. You know, you can put a $10 a pack tax on cigarettes, and I will never feel a thing.
Right.
But I think we have to be careful in passing these measures that feel good to the average person, and only on a practical level. It's not that I think the rich don't deserve to pay more in California. They're certainly paying less than they have historically at today's current rates. But if we become, if the state treasury becomes too dependent on taxes on the very rich, when we have a recession, their incomes go down too. And I think we have to be very careful about building in expectations that, for example, the soak-the-rich tax for universal preschool will always be there. There may be some years when it doesn't produce enough revenue to cover the costs of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's important for us not to go bonkers in, just doing what feels good to tax other people, because we have to be pragmatic about the long-term impact on the state's finances. Anything else you want to add, Mark?
No.
All
thanks
right.
for having my call.
Thanks for joining us on the program today. That leaves a line open for you on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. And you can call me toll-free, too, at 888-579-2540. I'm particularly interested in your picks for the top statewide offices in the Democratic primary, particularly the Wesley Angelides race. So if you haven't heard your viewpoint expressed, I want you to call. It's only a week till the election. And also, if you're having trouble deciding, if you find it just too difficult, or you're simply, you don't find either of these candidates compelling, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Now, while I've got a minute, with no callers on the board, I want to catch up on an interesting email exchange. Recently, an interesting woman named Eugenia has started a call to program, and I find her very well informed and very interesting. However, I am a little surprised by an email that she sent over to me today, which includes a thread of emails that she has been sending. This came out of a discussion we had last week about Walmart, about blocking the Walmart store in Hercules, California, and that there has been a similar effort, so far unsuccessful, in Marina, California, near Monterey. And Eugenia, if I'm reading this correctly, sent an email to customer relations at Walmart, and it reads this way: Walmart getting bashed on radio in CA. RE efforts in Marina, CA. Main object is low wages, no health care, and taxpayers stuck for paying benefits. Today heard, quote, CA has to pay millions for medical, etc., for employees that did not qualify for Walmart benefits. I wondered if your people counter these statements with the number or percentage of your employees who do qualify. I have wondered if you guys are getting bad rap in order to use against Hillary Clinton. You can't be too bad, or you couldn't get anyone to work for you. In CA, it seems anyone or anything from Arkansas is substandard. I had to put up with that for years until picture of Mr. Walton next to pickup came out with headlines of richest man in America. I owe him one because the perception of people from Arkansas went way up. Made my life easier. Thanks. Okay. Well, what have I learned here so far? Eugenie is from Arkansas, and she's gotten a bad rap for being from Arkansas. And, Eugenia, I'm sorry for you about that. I try very hard not to make fun of people just because they're from Arkansas, and I don't know that I've ever been guilty of doing that. So that was her inquiry to Walmart, and she got this lovely reply from Customer Replies for Walmart Stores and Sam's Clubs, dated Friday, May 26. Thank you for your message. And then there's I'll read as much of it as I can here, but it's just a kind of PR response. Walmart's wages and benefits are competitive in every market we serve. More than three-fourths of our workforce at Walmart is full-time. In addition to that, our part-time associates, just like our full-time associates, qualify for medical coverage, our employee stock option plan, discount cards, and company-funded profit sharing and 401k plans, along with several other great benefits. Our average hourly wage for regular full-time associates in the U.S. is $9.68 an hour, almost double the federal minimum wage. Well, not really. Walmart's average full-time wage in urban areas is slightly higher than the national average. Chicago, $10.69, same in Austin, Texas, and Washington, D.C. When you look at the growth of our business, you can see it takes a lot of talent to fuel that growth. We couldn't run our business if we were not a desirable employer. In all our locations, Walmart's starting rate is always higher than the minimum wage, and in many cases higher than unionized competitors. I cannot believe that. Prior to entering a market, we perform a competitive wage analysis with other retailers in the area to ensure we're competitive, and we continue to conduct a competitive wage analysis annually at every store. And so, of course, there's no direct answer to the question raised. And then Eugenia made this comment at the top of this thread aimed at me. She says, "You're the first person I've heard mention that state had to pick up medical for Walmart employees who do not qualify for Walmart benefits. Everybody else made it appear as if that applied to all or most of their employees, so I decided to check it out. A partial truth is as bad as a lie when you need to make good decisions." Well, Eugenia, if you were misled by something I said, I apologize. What I did say was that statewide, Walmart costs the state of California about $60 million a year in Medi-Cal benefits because too many of their employees do not qualify for the health care plan that was described in this PR email that you received from Walmart. So if you have any other questions, Eugenia, bring them on. But I would suggest that you not expect the people at Walmart to give you an honest answer about a question of this nature, even though they're from a great state like Arkansas. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. Call me now, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540.
Attention, Walmart shoppers. Free health care for the next 5 minutes.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
Tom Hartman.
So today, Alberto Gonzalez comes out and says that he's been watching child porn. And he describes it extremely graphically. In fact, so graphically, frankly, I don't want to quote the Attorney General.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It reminds me of Ed Meese. He created this Meese Commission on Pornography, and he came out and announced that he had watched over 800 hours of pornography, and they were convinced that watching pornography destroys people's minds. Then, Ed, why don't you check yourself into a hospital?
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 takes one more look at traffic at 548 this afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we have an accident in Santa Cruz County. Highway 1 at Laguna Road, two vehicles involved in this one. They both have been moved out of the roadway and onto the right-hand shoulder. In Santa Cruz, Glen Canyon Road at Mill Road, two-vehicle accident had been blocking lanes. They've now been moved over to the shoulder, just waiting for tow trucks to arrive and clear them all the way out of there. In Monterey, Highway 68 at York Road, we have a two-vehicle accident on the right-hand shoulder. And in Carmel, northbound 1 after Carmel Valley Road, we have a two-vehicle accident reportedly blocking the left-hand lane. Definitely watch out for that. This report is brought to you by Chevrolet. Get the facts on Chevy fuel efficiency. Compare Chevy head-to-head. Go to Edmunds.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. Take the rest of the day off.
So generous.
Yes, I am. Coming up right after 6, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. And now in Phoenix, Arizona, too, on 1480 KPHX.
You call yourself a Christian. I think that you're a hypocrite. You say you are a patriot. I think that you're a...
I have to be really careful there, Mick. Sorry. Rolling Stones from the most recent album. I think it was their 78th, but it doesn't play at 78. That's called Sweet Neocon. And I'm Peter B. Collins, taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792, and toll-free at 888-579-2540. The topic I'd like you to talk about is who you're going to vote for next Tuesday in the Democratic primary, or maybe you're voting in the Republican primary. You want to share? I'm willing to listen, but I'm particularly interested in your decision between Steve Wesley and Phil Angelides. Eric from San Francisco is listening online. He emailed, "I've already voted by absentee, and believe it or not, I voted all the same candidates you said you'd probably vote for, except Jerry Brown. I don't care if he's virtually uncontested. I still don't want to vote for him." All right, that's fair, Eric. Why don't you let me know what you think? 888-579-2540 or 899-5792 in the 831 area code. And Eugenia is on the line. Hey, Eugenia.
Hi, I wasn't knocking you. I was just curious because the first time I'd heard any mention about anybody saying the Walmart employees having benefits, was I heard it from you.
Right.
And I was just curious, so I thought I'd just check it out and see what they said.
So then was the stuff about Arkansas just to kind of
soften them up? Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I had to teach a lot of people some respect.
Uh-huh.
And it took a lot of effort, but I managed to pull it off.
Yeah.
Without Mr. Walton, really. But it just made it easier. Because working around engineers and scientists and, you know, guys, and, you know, they thought it was luck anytime I'd make something happen.
Uh-huh.
So after when they came running down to show me his picture in the paper, which I didn't even see until then, my status just rose.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I've never been to Arkansas.
Oh, it's a beautiful state.
I think of great people like your former Senator William Pryor.
Oh, Fulbright, McClellan.
And Fulbright? Yeah.
Oh no, Johnny Cash. I mean, we had some great people coming out of Arkansas. But when you're working with people and you got a southern accent and a kind of a layback style.
Yeah.
Which works really good,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a woman. you know, you're just too dumb to really know how to do anything.
So, well, that would be you know, I've only talked to you maybe 10 times, Eugenia, but I would never underestimate you.
Oh,
I think,
honey,
that would be a serious mistake.
Oh, you know what I'm worried about really big time right now?
What's that?
Our nuclear arsenal being slipped out right from under us. I ran across something in the progressive thing, the guy that you have come in every week.
Yeah.
And I've been worried about that for a while because...
You're referring to the Center for American Progress, Faz Shakir.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And because what's happening is I've been watching the power broken down. For years, it's just been steadily broken down. Okay? If that's the trend, okay, there's a pattern going in that direction. And we've got that nuclear arsenal sitting right up there, and they're destroying it and taking it apart and all this good stuff. I just wonder who's watching it.
Okay, now specifically, what's your fear, Eugenia?
My fear is that stuff can just slide out and go into whoever. I think it's like the New World Order controlling the trade of the world. You don't have to fool with the people. You just control their money and their trade.
Okay, so you think our military is lax in security regarding our
nukes
and that somebody could grab one?
The DOE is responsible for that. See, I just read this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That means Rumsfeld's responsible for watching out for the security of our nuclear arsenal.
Well, you're generally correct. There's this strange setup that the Department of Energy has control over certain aspects of our nuclear program. But the Pentagon controls the result. They've got the weapons, and it's DOE with DOD jointly operates places like the Lawrence Livermore Lab and Los Alamos.
Well, see, they created a new agency called the NNSA, and a guy named Brooks is responsible for that. The article I've read was about people having accidents and not getting taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then.
Well, I'll tell you what, Eugenia, I'm a little tight for time here, but if you would email me any info you found about that, I'd be happy to follow up.
Oh, good.
And I want to ask you next time you're at your computer, go to walmartwatch.org.
Oh, okay.
And
I was just curious as what they had to say as what the other side was, because you need both sides to make a good decision. I wasn't saying that about you.
Okay.
I was just saying about everybody.
All right. And obviously you shared it with me, so I don't feel like I'm a target here. I just thought it was a very interesting way to ferret out the information.
Oh, hey.
Okay, thanks, Eugenia.
Uh-huh.
Now we got Lewis in Carmel. Hey, Lewis, you're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show. How's that?
Hey, Peter. I listened to you a lot the first time I've called. I just wanted to say that as progressive as I am, I'm going to vote for Camejo.
Uh-huh.
Because the guy is just brilliant. I have a daughter that went to Berkeley. Now she's at Columbia she just finished a master's in social welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing an education. And she brought me up there to see Camejo speak. And I mean, I know he's not going to win. And I don't feel like I'm throwing my votes away, but we just have to keep making the statements that we believe in.
Well, I certainly agree. And I will share with you that I voted for the Green Party candidate, Dan Hamburg, in 96 or let's see, 04, 98. And I voted for Peter Camejo in the recall election.
So did I.
And I do support him in many respects. I think he's one of the most articulate people when it comes to issues of economy and class.
Yeah.
I think that he is brilliant on the issues of fair elections and trying to break the lock that the two-party system has on our electoral process. And I think he's a great guy. My position is that I vote in contested elections where I think I can make a difference. And if it were not for the toss-up right now between Angelides and Wesley, I'd probably venture over there because I'm registered as declined to state. So
yeah.
I can go in next Tuesday and ask for any ballot I want. And if it were not a close race between Angelides and Wesley, I probably would go for a green ballot and support Camejo.
Yeah, I had the same discussion with my daughter, you know, in the last election when she insisted on voting. Well, it was her first election. That would be it. But she insisted on voting, you know, for, what's his name? who was the Green Party guy for president?
Green Party for president was David Cobb from Eureka. Yeah, you're breaking up there, Lewis, so I thank you for the call, but we can't understand you anymore. I want to just close today by referencing the book that we kicked off the show with, Greg Palast, Armed Madhouse. He ties together so many different themes of the misdeeds of the Bush administration, including stolen elections, bankrupt policies related to the war in Iraq. He makes the central point that we went into Iraq about oil, but not to pull it out, to keep it in the ground so that the value of the rest of the oil around the world would be at an all-time high, and the profits for oil companies, in turn, would be rewarded. So I'd like to direct you to Armed Madhouse. That's the new book by Greg Palast. There's a link to the Greg Palast website at KRXA540.com.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. on many of these same stations, a little later in some cases. And I'll look forward to talking with you then. I'm Peter B.
To you. Keep smiling.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in San City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC7.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The insurgency situation in Iraq is self-evident. Not in control. Reinforcements needed.
Average weekly attacks on Americans and Iraqis, more than 600 a week, the highest level ever. Average daily casualties, that's killed and wounded, American troops down from 25 2 years ago to about 15. But Iraqis, both civilian and military, way up, from 30 to nearly 80.
CBS News correspondent David Martin says the Pentagon is sending 1,500 troops up from Kuwait to backstop Iraqi forces in the West. Another change in the Bush administration at the Treasury Department.
The Treasury Department today is in the forefront of the war on terror, using the authorities at our disposal to identify and disrupt terrorists and their funding activities.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer says John Snow there will be replaced by Goldman Sachs chief Henry Paulson.
Paulson will inherit a series of challenges as the chief defender of the administration's economic policies. He'll also face some tough trade issues, starting with keeping the pressure on China to move to a market-based economy. And Paulson could face less independence than he's enjoyed as the head of a big Wall Street firm. In the Bush administration, the Treasury Secretary has been more of a policy spokesman than a policy maker.
A blood oath may mean nothing special in today's courts of law.
If a contract's enforceable, it doesn't matter how it's written or what it's written in or on. And I think that's going to be the question for the judge. In other words, I don't think it matters that the contract was written in blood as long as it's legible and it's legal and otherwise enforceable.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen on a case in Santa Ana, California, where Jinsu Kim is suing Stephen Sun for failing to meet his promise. So solemnly was that promise given, it was written in Sun's own blood. But Sun says it was just a best effort pledge and should have no more weight than any other contract. He says written in stone or merely spoken, a contract is the same. Kim's lawyer says once was, blood actually meant something between men. The racehorse, Barbaro, is recuperating very well.
Right now this horse is walking so well on his limb. He willingly rests his left hind. He walks around the stall. He's very active.
Dr. Dean Richardson says so far, Barbaro's recuperation is much better than he ever expected. Consumers have told the conference board in May they worry now about the cost of fuel.